Amen. Thank you, Matthew. That's Mrs. Larson's baby boy. Amen. Well, they grow up fast, you know. I mean, Matthew, I had to tell a funny story. I was up here years ago. Matthew was a little guy when we first came here, just a little scooter. I mean, he was just little, and he was sitting on that front row in the service, and my wife's purse was next to him. She was playing the piano. And, of course, I was running the service, and he's down there all by himself, and he had his mother's purse. And my wife had some bill money that she had cashed a check, and there was a lot of money in her purse. And she had to pay bills with it. Well, the offering plate came by, and Matthew got in her purse and found all that bill money. And he put it all in the offering. He thought it was give it all Sunday or something like that, amen. And I guess when you teach them to give, don't be surprised if they do it, amen. But hopefully not in your purse, right, amen. Hopefully somebody else's. But I'm sure glad Matthew's going on serving the Lord, and he's got a girlfriend now. And we thought he came home to visit us. But he's been on the phone with her. I don't know why. Amen. I guess that's just the way of all things, so amen. But anyhow, we're thankful. I'm thankful our graduates get to come home a little bit and just see them serving the Lord. Let me tell you, as you serve the Lord, it's just as much a thrill for us to see you serve the Lord as it is for you to be serving the Lord. Amen. Amen. And thank God, it means so much to each one of us that you just keep going on serving Jesus and see the good, wonderful blessings that God gives you. Amen. In your life. Amen. God is so good. Well, take your Bible, please, tonight or this morning. Go with me to the book of Matthew and chapter number 14. The book of Matthew and chapter number 14 in God's Word this morning. And I want to speak to you on a thought found in the passage of Scripture. And the subject I want to preach on is when you give it to God. When you give it to God. You know, there are a lot of things in life that we have to find the importance of giving them to God. And God wants so many things to be given to Him. And I want to give you some thoughts and preach on that subject this morning, when you give it to God. Look, please, if you would, beginning with verse number 15. Verse number 15 of chapter 14 of the book of Matthew, we'll begin there. The Bible says, "And when it was evening, the disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart, give ye them to eat.' And they say unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, Bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children." Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for the Bible today. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to preach it. And God, I pray that you open up the truths of this passage to our heart and our mind this morning, and help us as this little boy gave his lunch to you. I pray that, Lord Jesus, you'd help us to see the importance of the things in our life that we give them to you, because we know you do so much with them. So bless it, we pray. Bless thy word this morning and use it for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love the passage of Scripture that I'm going to preach on. Sometimes I really am thankful when God leads me to certain passages in the Bible. Not that any of them I don't like, but there's some that just, you know, you just really like. And I like this passage of Scripture. And I love the fact of what the passage of Scripture teaches. I can picture a little boy, probably got some dirt on his face and probably got a fishing pole in his hand or up to some kind of mischief because his mama wasn't around. And there's this little boy, and he was probably, no doubt, going to do something today. Maybe he was going to sell some things. Maybe he'd be gone all day. And he had a little lunch with him. He had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, that's a lot, probably plenty, for a little boy to eat. That's enough to suffice his habit. He had to have been a boy, because if he was a teenager, it would say 15 loaves and 20 fishes, right? So he had to be a boy. But as he had these 5 loaves and these 2 fishes, I'm thinking that this boy probably had a plan of what he was going to do during the day, or he wouldn't have had 5 loaves and 2 fishes in his possession if he didn't have a plan for the day. And I think possibly he was either heading to market to sell some things. Maybe he had a fishing pole in his hand. Maybe he was going fishing as boys do. And I don't know exactly what he was doing, and the Bible does not say, but he had prepared something, and obviously he had something that he was doing that day. And he came across this huge group of people, 5,000 men plus women and children. It's estimated that there were probably at least 20 to 25,000 people in this area listening to Jesus, because by this time in Jesus' ministry, there was a huge flock of people that had followed him in his ministry. And this little boy comes walking across, and all he has is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. At the same time, the disciples here were wondering what to do about the people. And they made a suggestion to Jesus, and they said, Jesus, we gotta shut down the meeting and let them go home. They're all hungry. We gotta feed them. And Jesus said, I got a different plan. He said, I want to feed them. Now, this passage of Scripture to me is very interesting because of where they find them and where Jesus finds these people. And notice verse 15 where they were located. In verse 15 it says, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages to buy themselves victuals. But I want you to notice, first of all, notice the place where they were. They were in a place that was a desert place. They were in a place where the sun was setting. It was almost evening. And they were in a place where these people had no money. Another passage of Scripture, Jesus, the disciples say, we have 200 penny worth, you know, but what are they among so many? In other words, we can't buy enough. We can't buy enough to feed everybody. There is too many people and not enough food. Amen. And so they find themselves in a bad place, in a desert place. Have you ever been in a place like that in your life? Have you ever been in a place where the sun seemed to be setting, you were hungry and there wasn't enough, and you were in a desert place? There was less resources, less ability, and the opportunities to do well probably were not there. Have you ever found yourself in that place? Can I tell you what I think Christians find themselves in these places often? You know, when God promised that he would take care of us, you know, God never said that everything in life would go rosy. He never said everything in life would be fine. Never said you'd have everything you wanted. Sometimes we find ourselves in desert places. Sometimes we're looking around for water, but it's a desert place. And sometimes we have a need or a desire or something to be fulfilled, and all of a sudden we're hungry. We become in need. Can I tell you, we find ourselves in places like that a lot in our life. And if you haven't been there, just hold on to the reins, because you'll be there someday at some point in your life. But I want to tell you, aren't you glad that Jesus was there? Aren't you glad that Jesus was there? Because when Jesus was there, it didn't matter that they were hungry. It didn't matter that the sun was going down. It didn't matter that there was no water. In him was life. He had all sufficiency and all supply, even in a desert place. Can I tell you, oftentimes in life, when we're in a desert place, that's the time when it's so easy to forget that Jesus is there. But he is there. I said, he is there in the desert place. You see, Jesus didn't always go to those who had everything. You don't find him in Herod's temple all the time. You find him at the Pool of Siloam, where there's a blind man. Or you find him with blind Bartimaeus. Or you find him with disciples who are seeking to know Jesus better. You see him in many of those places. That's where Jesus multiplies his efforts. So when you and I find ourselves in a place that's dry, that's barren, and we find ourselves spiritually hungry, hear me, Jesus is there. He made a promise, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. By the way, that's one verse why I don't believe parachuting is scriptural. You say, why? Because the Bible says, lo, I'm with you always. Amen? Just thought I'd throw that out there. Amen? But I'm trying to say Jesus is right there in the midst of your storm. You know, when the disciples were on the boat, and that boat was rocking up and down, and they said, Lord, we perish. Where are you? Who came to them walking on the water? That was Jesus. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how many times I felt like this crowd in life when, oh, what are we going to do now? Where's the next thing coming from? Let me tell you something. Jesus is right there in that desert place. Amen. He's right there. He's right there. I'm saying this morning that you can go to Jesus because he's right there. And all of a sudden, the disciples said, you know, they were looking at things in a normal fashion, normal thinking. We don't have enough money to pay for all these people. You got to send them home. They got to go to their own house and find food, you know, open the cupboard and make some, you know, some leftover turkey dinner. Amen. Which is what half of you are going home to eat today. Amen. And they got to go to their own house and get the turkey dinner. They got to feed themselves. And Jesus said, I don't want them to leave. Now, not only is Jesus there, but Jesus doesn't want us to leave him. Think of the heart of God. Think of the almighty heart of God who says, we're in a desert place. They're hungry. And I don't want them to leave. I'm with them. Not only is Jesus with you, but he doesn't want to leave you when you're in that desert place. He wants to be right beside you in that desert place. He doesn't want to forsake you. He doesn't want to kick you out. You know, sometimes we have this idea that, you know, if we fail God or we make mistakes, that God's like, all right, that's it. Push you out the door. You're done. No, he doesn't do that. According to Jeremiah 18, he just keeps us on the wheel. He just keeps remaking us. into what he wants us to be. And you know, life is about sitting on that potter's wheel and letting God do what he wants in our life, because not only does he know where we are, that desert place, but he knows that he doesn't want us to go anywhere else but him. What a blessing. He says, you don't need to send him away. What do we have here? We just got a little snotty-nosed boy walking along here, probably going fishing. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's all we got. Jesus said, that's enough. That's enough. You know, Jesus doesn't need a lot to make enough. He doesn't need a lot. That little widow at Zarephath, every time she went to the bottom of that barrel, guess what? She found enough. She found enough. And every time she went down there, she scooped out enough for her and her son. God was good. I'll tell you something. There's always going to be enough when you're with Jesus. Always going to be enough. Man alive. I looked at our plate and looked at Thanksgiving this year. We had more food than a grocery store. I'm thinking of going into business and putting a sign out in front of the parsonage. Come get this food. But the only problem is it goes away real quickly. Amen. It disappears. I'm simply saying to you, in Jesus, there's always going to be enough. There'll be enough. He does not want you to leave him. He wants to be with you. You know, sometimes we need to know that Jesus wants to be with me, because he does. Don't send him home. Don't kick him out. Don't push him away. Let's stay. Let's do something. Let's do something good. Send that boy 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Send that little snotty-nosed boy. And you know what the boy did? The boy took his lunch, probably changed his whole day plan, and he saw Jesus, and he gave it to Jesus. He didn't take it anymore. He gave it to Jesus. He gave every bit of lunch he had. And the Bible says that Jesus took it and he broke it. Now, can I tell you something? It's amazing when you and I give whatever we have to Jesus. Now, to be honest with you, this isn't a message about giving what we have. This is really a message about giving ourselves. Giving ourselves to the Lord Jesus. You know, the Bible reminds us, another passage of Scripture, he that loseth his life shall find it. And he that findeth his life shall lose it. It works the opposite of our human thinking. When you take your life and you hold on to it and keep it and live it how you want to live it, you'll find you'll lose it. You'll find after a while it's like an old sock. You really don't want it. It's because our plans are not holding out that lunch to God. Our plans are keeping our lunch and holding on to it, keeping our plan and keeping it going. But can I tell you, the principle is when you give your life, you lose your life to God. God, here's my life. I give it to you. God suddenly has a way of turning it around and returning all of what you gave him back to him. It's because when you put something in the master's hand who wants to be with you, when you put it in his hand, he makes something amazing and something wonderful out of it. And that is the motivation that all of us should understand, that God can do so much more with my life than I ever thought I could. If I take my life and I put it in God's hand, he's not going to crumple it up, throw it away. He's going to take my life. And what did Jesus do with it? He multiplied it. You see, men add, God multiplies. And God took those little five loaves and those two fishes. He said, that'll do. That's enough. God doesn't need much to do anything. All he needed was a few words to speak the entire world into existence. He doesn't need a lot. He's God. But when you take your life and you give it into God's hand, let me tell you something. He takes your life and multiplies it. Multiplies what God can do in your life. I say to you today, put your life into God's hand. Put your life into God's hand. Take whatever lunch you have and give it to God, because he doesn't add, he multiplies. God multiplies. He returns again and again and again so much of what God would have us to do. Many times we treat God's will like the old Scottish woman who traveled around the countryside selling housewares. And whenever she came to a fork in the road, she would throw a straw into the air, and when it dropped to the ground, she'd proceed in the direction wherever the straw indicated. So the residents of that area knew her strange custom, but one day a friend saw her tossing a straw several times before choosing the path she would take. And he asked her, he said, why do you do that more than once? She said, oh, it kept pointing on the road to the left, she said, and I wanted to go the other way because it looked so much smoother. So she continued casting her straw to the wind until it finally fell in the direction she wanted. How many of us are like that? How many times do we throw our straw in the air saying, God, make your will mine? How many times do we do that? It's so easy. But can I tell you, when you take it, you give it to God, it does so much more. It's like the story of that old violin, like we used to tell in olden days, of the auction, and the violin was upheld at the auction, and the auctioneer said, $1, who give me one? Who give me two? $2, who give me three? And an old man in the back came up and said, can I look at the violin? The man said, sure. He began to take the violin and tighten the strings, and he pulled out the bow. And when this old man began to play, beautiful music came from that old violin. And he began to play that old violin. And little by little, the auctioneer said, this violin's of much more value. He put the violin and the bow down, and the auctioneer said, 1,000. Who give me 1,000? Who give me 2,000? Who give me 3? You see, the value of the violin was increased because of the touch of the master's hand. And oh, can I tell you what? God allows us to live our life however we want. But let me tell you something. When you live for God and you give your life to God, and let the master touch your life, he'll do so much more with your life than you ever thought he would. That's what brings joy to our life. That's why life is such a joy. That's why life has such a great purpose, because the master had it. Here's what Jesus did with the lunch. Number one is he took it. Jesus took the lunch. You say, I don't have much to offer Jesus. That's all right. He'll take you. He'll take you. You say, Jesus would take me? Yeah. Oh, no. He might take that other person over there. Oh, no. See, Jesus can take anything and multiply it. Anything. And multiply it. If he can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 20,000 people, I think he can take what little scraps we give him and accomplish so much with it. and use it for His glory. He took it. Secondly, He told them to sit down. I like that. Look at verse 19. And He commanded the multitude to sit down. I like that. You say, how did He do it? I don't know. Maybe He said, hey, y'all, sit. Amen. I don't know how He did it, but He did it. Park it right there, brother. Amen. He commanded them to sit. You know what that is? That's a picture of trust. He said, I don't want you to go anywhere. I want you to just trust Me. Just sit down. Relax. Jesus said, I'm going to take care of it. You know, there is a wonderful rest when you give yourself to God. There is a wonderful peace when you give yourself to God. There is a peace that passes all understanding because you understand it's in God's control. It's in His care. It's in His will. And He takes care of it. It's a peace. There's a peace there. Sit down, He said. It's time to eat. Sit down. I'm here to show you what I can do. The third thing He did was He blessed it. He blessed it. You know, when you give it to God and you say it's not much, but when God takes it and blesses it, when it's blessed, my goodness, what God does and what is accomplished through it. I love that song Matthew sang, the words of the song, I want my life to count for Jesus. All earthly things will quickly fade, and they will. Whatever we've accomplished in life, guess what? We're going to leave it in this life. We're not taking it with us. The only thing we can take with us are the souls that we reach for the glory of God as God has used us. He blessed it. I want to live a blessed life. I'd much rather live a blessed life than a rich life. I'd much rather live a blessed life than a self-directed life. I'd rather live a blessed life than any other life that one could find or that one could choose. A blessed life. Number four, He took it and He multiplied it. Notice what He did. He gave the loaves to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude. You know, these disciples were the first to see the miracle. The disciples were the first ones. They got to see. Imagine some of the doubting disciples, you know, some of those guys that are kind of, you know, not sure about Jesus yet. They looked at Jesus and He blessed it and He gave them, and here they're carrying this basket full. Wait a minute. Didn't He have 5 loaves and 2 fishes? How did I get this basket full? In fact, how did you other disciples get this basket full? How did that all happen? Those disciples said, man, I think I'm with someone greater than me. They took those 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They brought them. They passed them out. And God took it and multiplied it. Oh, listen, I want to tell you something. Whatever you do in the name of Christ, in the name of Jesus, I want to tell you something. God can take it and multiply it. Amen. Time and time and time again. I told the story of an old preacher who got discouraged. He had a tabernacle in Chicago. And after preaching for many years, he got tired, just kind of got discouraged. And he quit preaching for 2 years. After 2 years was over, he knew he couldn't just quit. He said, I got to get back in it. He began to preach again in that tabernacle. His name was Paul Rader. Back in the 40s, my grandparents went to hear Paul Rader preach. They were invited to hear that old leather lung preacher preach. And Paul Rader got up and preached the word of God. And my grandparents, they walked the aisle and they got saved. And they changed from Swedish Lutheran to being a Baptist. And they said, we're going to, and they lived in a Baptist church. And my dad grew up Baptist church. And, you know, I want to tell you something. From Paul Rader came my grandparents to my father to me. And any soul that I ever see saved, Paul Rader is going to get some credit for that in heaven. You know why? Because he gave his life to Jesus. And God is taking what he did and multiplied it. You know what I love about soul winning? Is you never know behind that door if that person is going to be turned into great fruit. And their life is going to shine for Jesus. And may I tell you what? That part of that goes back to the one who led them to the Lord. You see, Jesus doesn't just add. Jesus multiplies. And he'll take your life and multiply it and multiply it again and again and again. Number five, notice Jesus has plenty more. Woo, I like this. Look at verse number 20. And they did all eat. Man, it must have been a Baptist potluck right there. They all ate. And they were filled. Woo. Hey, you know, the Bible says come and dine. It doesn't say come and diet. Amen. Amen. Just thought I'd throw that out there. You know, the three ordinances of the Baptist church is Lord's Supper, baptism, and potluck Sunday. Amen. Yeah. Some think that's in the Bible. It's not all there, I have to tell you. But I'm going to tell you, they all filled. That is the picture of the satisfaction when you serve the Lord. You're not going to have great things or great riches, maybe not a great name, but I got news for you. You're going to be filled. And you're going to be overflowing. And there's always plenty there that the Lord takes care of. You know, we all have to remind ourselves of this fact that there's a God who wants to be with us. He provides for us. He'll multiply our life. But all we got to do, see, it all began because a little boy, he gave what he had. He gave his lunch to the Lord. And by the way, this was a picture of himself. He had to give himself to God. He had to lose his own life. He had to let God control his life. And this is a key ingredient to joy in our Christian lives. And sometimes a Christian lives in fear that if I give my life to the Lord, oh, he's going to make me miserable. He's going to put me in a mud hut in deepest Africa and I will be so unhappy. You know, that's such a fallacy. Because see, it's God that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. God works in us to do that. But all we have to do is give God our lunch. Have you given yourself to God yet? See, I don't know if I'm ready for that yet, preacher. I don't think anybody ever gets ready for that. I think we have to reach a place where we understand God loves me. He wants me to be with him. And that he can take my life and multiply it, make it a whole lot more than I ever could. Oh, I want to tell you today, they still honor great men and they still honor missionaries and preachers today who have in their heart and in their life a knowledge of God's will. George Mueller was in Bristol, England. And George Mueller trusted God for the care of hundreds of children in his orphanage. His walk with God was marked by an ability to know God and walk in his will. In these matters, he used to say, both trivial and important. And when he was asked about doing God's will, he said, I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. And 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. And when one person is in this state, it's usually but a little way to the knowledge of what His will is for us. A man that speaks from experience, a man of faith, George Mueller. I say to you today that God will take what you are and make it so much better than what you and I could ever thought it could be. It doesn't matter how little it is. It just matters that it's given to God. Can I lastly say this morning, here in this passage of Scripture, that God does not then allow us to do without. We see here in verse number 21, and when they had eaten, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. Jesus said, I want to make sure everybody's taken care of. I want to make sure they're all fed and taken care of. Oh, I can tell you some wonderful stories of how God, in just the ministry of giving my life. But you know, I'm not necessarily just talking about a person choosing to be in a ministry. Although if God has that will for your life, I hope you surrender lock, stock, and barrel. You'll be blessed. You will be blessed. But I want to say, as an average, everyday Christian, a layman, if you say, Lord, here am I. Whatever I have is yours. Whatever I am is yours. Whatever little or insignificant I am, as best I know how, I give it to you to lead me, to guide me. You'll see God take your 5 loaves and your 2 fishes and bless and multiply your life. Oh, you may not be a rich man. You may not hit the Fortune 500 list. You may not have all these things. You may not have all the stuff that the world holds dear, but I promise you, you'll be filled. You'll be filled and you'll be satisfied as you live your life for the Lord. This world brings such emptiness, such clouds, such doubt, such upheaval, such roller coasters. But can I tell you what? When you're in the Lord's will and you've given God all you have, the best you know how, there's a God who'll take your life and bless your life and use it for His glory and honor. Would you do that today? Would you say, Lord, here am I. Here am I, Lord. Whatever you would want for me to do, Lord, here am I. Send me. Use me. Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's close our eyes.